Welcome to this edition of PowerPoint with Jack Graham. A little later in the program, we'll tell you how you can get a copy of Dr. Graham's book, A Man of God. But first, here is his message, Bums at the Banquet.
Turn in your Bibles to Luke chapter 14. Luke's Gospel chapter 14. Let me give you just a little bit of the setup of what and why Jesus told this parable. He's at a dinner party himself, invited by religious leaders of his time. And they're talking about the important subject of the kingdom of God. Who is in the kingdom of God? Who's in? Who's out? And Jesus tells this story regarding a king or a master of a feast who prepares a party. Matthew's gospel tells us that it was a wedding party, and it is for the king's son. The father, the king, prepares a banquet for his son. This is what the kingdom is. It's a party. It is a gala to end all galas. Now, this is revolutionary for the time of Christ. And in fact, it is revolutionary even today because religion sees the kingdom as a courtroom where we are judged based on what we have done right, what we have done wrong. And so in the context of this courtroom atmosphere, Jesus turns it all upside down by saying, no, the kingdom is not a courtroom. The kingdom is a celebration. There's so much joy in knowing Jesus. Don't feel sorry for me because I'm a Christian. I'm having the most wonderful time and the most wonderful life. And yet so many people live as though Jesus was still in the grave. He's not in the grave. He died on the cross and rose again. And when he walked on planet Earth with his disciples, so often the teaching moments were around meals. So at a party, good food needs to be involved, and a lot of it. Jesus said, I've come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. But so much of the friendship and fellowship that Jesus shared with his most intimate followers and disciples was around a table and sharing a meal. That's consistent with the entire Bible, by the way, when you read Old Testament, New Testament, 180 times. Either the word feast or a derivative of the word feast, like festival, is used in the scriptures. The Jewish people, as established in the Old Testament, had important religious feasts. Primary was the Passover feast. And it is at the Passover feast that Jesus had his last what? Supper with his disciples. The last thing that Jesus did before his death on the cross was to share this meal with his disciples. One of the first things that Jesus did when he came back from the grave along the Sea of Galilee, he had breakfast with his disciples. The scripture says in Revelation 3:20, I stand at the door and knock, and if anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and we'll eat together, we'll share a meal. That's the picture of the Christian life. It is fellowship. It is receiving the life and the love of our Lord Jesus Christ. We need to understand the truth of this parable. We need to understand the lesson that Jesus gives here, that God is a good God and that he provides all things richly to enjoy in Jesus Christ. That's what the Bible says. That if it's a good thing, God wants you to bless you. He wants you to have it. And he simply says, come unto me. Let's read the parable beginning in verse 16 of Luke chapter 14. A man once gave a great banquet and invited many. And at the time of the banquet, he sent his servant to say to those who had been invited, come, for everything is now ready. Come. That's one of God's favorite words. Come to me. Come to me. But there's an urgency with this invitation. Come now. Come right now. And so he says, everything is ready. But they all alike began to make excuses. The invitees, one of them said, I've bought a field and I must go out and see it. Please excuse me. And another said, I've bought 5 yoke of oxen and I'm going to examine them. Please excuse me. And another said, I've married a wife and therefore I cannot come. So the servant came and reported these things to his master. Then the master of the house became angry, righteously indignant, insulted that these would reject the invitation. And he said to his servant, go out quickly to the streets and lanes of all the city and bring in the poor and the crippled and the blind and the lame. And the servant said, sir, what you have commanded has been done and still there is room. Love that phrase. Still room for more. There's a great old gospel song we used to sing it at invitations. There's room at the cross for you. Though millions have come, there's still room for one. There's room at the cross for you. Still there is room. And the master said to the servant, go out to the highways and hedges and compel people to come in that my house might be full. For I tell you, none of these men who were invited shall taste of my banquet. Come and come now. The master of the feast, the king, preparing for his son, spared no expense for this banquet. All things are now ready. Every provision has been made. He offers the very finest, the very best. And when we are invited to the kingdom of God, we know that all things have been prepared. Everything is finished, paid in full, come without price. Our Lord and Savior, by His blood, has purchased eternal life for us. Salvation is not an awards banquet for the self-righteous, but it is come and receive, come and believe. Salvation is not a goal to be achieved. It is a gift to be received. There is nothing that any one of us can do to earn or deserve eternal life and salvation and the forgiveness of sin. It's an open invitation. It is an obvious invitation. It is the invitation of the entire Bible. Come, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. Come and come now. Why would anyone want to live another day without Jesus Christ, without knowing the peace of God, without knowing the promise of eternal life? And yet, there are people, many people, like these who rejected the invitation in Jesus' story, who say, can't get there, not going to be able to make the party. And they were no-shows. And they began to make excuses. And these are pathetic, lame excuses. One said, well, I bought a piece of land, and I've got to first go check this land out, and therefore I can't come. Now, really, what person buys real estate without checking it out first? Right? That's a lame, bogus excuse. He's too busy. The next guy says, you know, I bought an oxen. I bought an animal. I've got to test this animal, see if the animal's good. You know, who buys a car or a tractor without first checking it out to see if it runs, to see if it works? Again, this guy's more interested in making a buck and plowing his field than celebrating with the king and his son. And then this last guy, he said, I can't come because I've married a wife. You know, there are a lot of crazy excuses that people give. I've heard a lot of them through the years as to why they don't come to Jesus, why they don't follow Jesus. You know, some on the surface seem to be good excuses. Well, I just don't know if I'm good enough to live the Christian life. I don't know if I can do it. Well, of course you can't do it. Of course you can't live the Christian life. But that's like, you know, saying that I don't know if I can do it is like saying I think I'll grow up before I'm born. You have to start and come just as you are. So there's some, you know, maybe on the surface it appears good reasons. I like what evangelist Billy Sunday said. He said, you know, an excuse is the skin of a reason stuffed with a lie. And an alibi is just another lie. So here comes another alibi. I mean, people say, you know, things like, well, students, you know, when I get out of high school, when I get out of university, you know, when I've had my fun, then I'll follow Jesus. And then later on, well, we've got kids now. I'm married, I've got kids, and the kids are, you know, a hassle, and I got work, and I got responsibilities, and I'm on a career path, and I'm going to get to the top, and I really don't have time to serve God. I really don't have time for kingdom enterprise in my life. Excuses. All the hypocrites in the church. What about all the phonies in the church? Yes, they're phonies in the church. Jesus had one among his most intimate disciples, Judas Iscariot. But don't hide behind a hypocrite. If you hide behind something, you got to be smaller than something you're hiding behind. Don't go to hell with the hypocrites. That's just a lame excuse. You've got business, you've got career, you've got all kinds of preoccupation. What's your excuse? Well, I'm addicted to something. I don't know if I can get over it. All of that is just an alibi, another lie, to say, I don't want to come. They didn't come not because they couldn't come, but because they wouldn't come.
You're listening to PowerPoint with Jack Graham and today's message, Bums at the Banquet. June 30th is PowerPoint's financial year end, and we need your help. A generous friend has offered to match every gift given to PowerPoint this month. So any gift you give to PowerPoint will be doubled, allowing us to keep the hope of Jesus Christ coming your way and going out to millions more all over the world. And when you give, we'll say thanks by sending you Dr. Graham's book, A Man of God. Call 1-800-795-4627. That's 1-800-795-4627. You can also text the word PowerPoint to 313131. Text PowerPoint to 313131.
And don't forget to visit jackgraham.org, where you can shop our e-store, give a gift online, or sign up for Dr. Graham's free daily email devotional. Our website again is jackgraham.org. Now let's get back to today's message, Bums at the Banquet.
So the master of the feast, the king, is incensed, insulted, infuriated, and rightly so. And so he says, go and find people wherever they are. Because if you don't want to get saved, somebody else will. And the point is that it's time to stop pampering the privileged and start going after people who desperately need Jesus Christ. Time to stop pampering the religious crowd who don't get it and go after people who are so desperate they will get it. So he said, go into the highways, into the hedges, in the lanes of the city. Go wherever people are. Find hurting people. Find broken people. Find blind people. Find lame people. Find people who need me and bring them. He didn't just say bring them. He said compel them. Beg them. The Apostle Paul said, knowing the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. Strong word, we persuade them. One of my roles as a preacher and teacher and an evangelist is to persuade you to come to Christ, and you also as a witness for Christ. This is what God has called us to do. I'm here to say Jesus is alive. I'm here to say Jesus saves. And you need to get saved today. The invitation is on. The invitation is open. Come to Jesus. Come to the banquet. So that's exactly what they did. They went out and found all of these people, just got them off the streets, got them everywhere they could find them, brought them to the banquet. And the king said, well, there's still room for more. Still room for more. Let me tell you, let me remind you of something, church. No matter how many people we bring, there's still room for more. There's still room for more. There's still room for you. There's still room for your friend, your family member. There's still room for that person who is nearest to hell. He said, go find them. Go find the good, the bad, the ugly. And don't make people run through religious hoops. Just go get them. Get them to the banquet. You know, go get those preppies with their little polo thing on their shirt. Go get that guy loaded up with ink and tats. Go get that lady of the streets, that woman of the streets. Go get that lady who thinks she's too good to be saved. You see, there's no person who's too good to be saved that doesn't need to be saved, and there's no person too bad who cannot be saved. That's what Jesus is telling us here. That's what he's showing us here in this simple little story with this huge idea that the banquet is for the bums and the broken. And guess what? We're all bums at the banquet. Every one of us. None of us deserve to be at this table. Not one of us deserve to be in the kingdom of God. We haven't earned it. We haven't deserved it. Not one of us. I wouldn't trust the best 15 minutes I'd ever live to get me to heaven. I'm not going to heaven because I'm good. I'm not that good, believe me. And no one is. So when you go to a party, people always want to know, well, what's the dress code? You got to know what the dress code is if you're going to go to the party. So here's a beggar out here, a bum out here, a broken person out here. They're living in rags. Say, well, what am I going to wear to the party? I can't go. I don't have the clothes for the party. The servant says, don't you worry about that. The king has provided what you need. And he just gets there on the arm of a friend. And at the banquet, he's given the wedding garments. The Bible talks about these garments of salvation, these wedding garments that are the fine linen of the saints. And when we are at the table of the Lord in eternity, we will wear these righteous robes. Revelation 19 tells us, it was granted her, speaking of God's church, God's people, to clothe herself with fine linen and bright and pure, for the fine linen is the righteous deeds of the saints. And the angel said to me, write this, blessed are those who are invited to the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he said to me, these are the true words of God. The righteous deeds of the saints. Well, look, we can try, we can work, we can be self-righteous, but that's not enough. Isaiah says that our best deeds, the best that we can do, our righteous deeds are as filthy rags in the sight of God. We're all wearing rags. But when we come to Jesus, we exchange our rags for His righteousness. Amen? He cleanses us in the royal bath of the King, His precious blood. He clothes us with the garments of salvation, in the righteousness, not our own, but the righteousness of Jesus Christ. There's nothing but the blood that can cleanse us from our sin, dressed in His righteousness alone, faultless to stand before the throne. So let's remember just what Jesus has done for us. He has exchanged our sin for His righteousness. And we are now able to be here, not because we got up this morning and said, "Aren't they lucky I'm going to church?" But because, like bums at the banquet, like broken people, and we're all broken, we have been redeemed, not by corruptible things, things that are worthless, but by the precious blood, the powerful blood of Jesus. Now, church, there's a message in here for us. And that is, God has called us to go get people who are far from God. 80-90% of the people who come to church come because someone invited them, because someone gave them an invitation. And God has called every one of us not to just stand to go to church and say, "Come and hear," but to go and tell. This is missions and evangelism. So we're to go find all kinds of people, not people just like us, who look like us, always think like us, dress like us, smell like us, but anyone and everyone. Because there's room for more. The reason we do global missions is because God has commanded us. Jesus has called us and commanded us to go into all the world, starting with our neighbor next door and then the nations around the world. Because God has called us to the banquet and to be like this servant. Why? That my house may be filled. Now, he's not talking about the church house here. He's talking about his house, the Father's house. It's the work of the church to depopulate hell and populate heaven, to make it as hard as possible to go to hell, because we're sharing Jesus Christ and the power of the good news to change lives. Sometimes we wonder, does my invitation do much good? God gets through to people, and a simple invitation, a simple piece of paper, can sometimes make all the difference in a person's life.
You're listening to PowerPoint with Jack Graham, and today's message, Bums at the Banquet. PowerPoint is coming up on the end of our financial year, and we've got some exciting news to share with you today. Some friends have stepped forward with a $180,000 matching grant, which will double any gift you give this month to help PowerPoint finish this financial year strong. With more people than ever searching for what only Jesus can provide, your gift today is nothing short of vital to help ensure PowerPoint remains a beacon of hope in the year ahead. And we'll say thanks for your gift today by sending you Dr. Graham's book, A Man of God, for you or someone you know. So call now to have your financial year-end gift doubled and request your copy of A Man of God as our thanks. Call 1-800-795-4627. That's 1-800-795-4627. You can also text the word PowerPoint to 313131. Text PowerPoint to 313131.
And don't forget to visit jackgraham.org, where you can shop our e-store, give a gift online, or sign up for Dr. Graham's free daily email devotional. Our website again is jackgraham.org. Pastor, what is your PowerPoint for today?
Because we are bums at the banquet, because we have been saved by grace through faith in Jesus Christ, none of us deserve to be in this family of God. None of us belong at the banquet, but we have been included because of what Christ has done for us. And that means that we also, representing Christ, should include others. That
church and the family of faith is not only for the good people, but it's for all people. It's for everyone. The hurting, the broken, the bruised by life, people in our lives that you know, family members and friends and neighbors and coworkers who need to know Jesus. And so it is very important that we build relationships and that we include others in our lives for the sake of introducing them to the love of Christ. Those whose lives are broken apart, all of these need Jesus. All of these need the love of God. And we have an opportunity to share this great love. Ask the Holy Spirit to open your eyes, your spiritual eyes, the eyes of your heart, to see people all around you, hurting people who need hope. And then be willing to get out of your comfort zone and to invite that friend to church. Bring that person with you to a worship service or a Bible study, or be so bold as to share your faith, your own personal testimony as to how Christ is changing your life. I want to encourage you to join us at jackgraham.org, and online we can connect together on Twitter, Facebook. I love Twitter. I love getting to know you better there and you getting to know me along with Facebook. And then also online you can request prayer. If you have a prayer request, we don't just write these down. We pray for people and their requests. So please let us know how we can pray for you or your family or maybe a friend that you know who needs to know Jesus. Tell us how we can pray for your friends. Let's be prayer partners together in getting the gospel to the world, including your world. And if you're blessed by this program, if you're encouraged and you want to see it go to more people who need Jesus, over and over again, we are introduced to people, we meet people online and otherwise, who are changed by the power of Jesus Christ through this ministry called PowerPoint. And so if you would like to support PowerPoint, we would be blessed to receive that. And you can just online at jackgraham.org give a donation. It's really simple. And if God prompts your heart to do it, we would appreciate it so very much. God bless you. I already look forward to our next time together.
And that is today's PowerPoint. Remember, when you give a gift to PowerPoint, we'll send you Dr. Graham's powerful book, A Man of God, as our thanks. Call 1-800-795-4627. That's 1-800-795-4627. You can also text the word PowerPoint to 313131. Text PowerPoint to 313131. And on the next PowerPoint, Dr. Graham brings a message about how you can live for things that really matter. That's next time on PowerPoint with Jack Graham.
PowerPoint with Jack Graham is sponsored by PowerPoint Ministries.